Well, it is looking a lot like Christmas, huh? And everywhere we look, and I too want to add my thanks to everyone who participated in the decoration of this place. Doesn't it look awesome? Yeah. It does. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Between the decorations and preparing these talks, I am so into the Christmas mood. I'm just really ready. We are in the midst of preparations. We are preparing for Christmas in lots of ways. And this is Advent. This is the time, spiritually, religious-wise, that we prepare for the coming and the birth of the Christ child, this preparation. This is the Christmas season. We have been doing it here, the Advent season. Each of the four Sundays preceding Christmas Day has a theme, an idea behind it. So we've already talked about faith. We're preparing in faith. We remember that Mary was asked by the archangel to, you know, or told by the archangel that she would be carrying a child, and her words to the angels were just a testament to faith. Let it be with me according to your word. There's not much better way to exhibit faith. The second week, last week, we talked about peace and how in the midst of all of these times we can go within to find that place, that truth of us, the peace that is our natural way of being. So preparing in peace, being able to move through these troubled times, all troubled times, from that foundation, from that place of peace. Today is love, one of my favorite topics, you know, preparing in love. So we are going to be talking about Advent, we're talking about love, preparing in love. And we see it everywhere. We see it here. Obviously, the love, I have talked to so many of you who say, I just love this church. Have you ever said that? I've heard you say it. Yes, I know you have. It is obvious that people are preparing in love, with love. When you are shopping for Christmas gifts, and it's somebody that you really care about, don't you put a lot of love in the searching of that gift? Yes. I can remember one Christmas Eve, December 24th, literally. I was working at the telephone company, but a part-time job at Sears at night to augment, you know, I was very young back then. And I still hadn't gotten that special something for my sister. So it's Christmas Eve, I'm running around the mall like crazy trying to find some special gift because I wanted to show how much I loved her, you know. I did find something. It was kind of disappointing, and but we want very much to infuse our preparations with love when it comes to Christmas. I want to ask you to think for a moment about gifts that you've received. Can you bring to mind at least one, maybe more, gifts that just make you think of the preparation in love that went behind it? Yes? Any gifts come to mind? I see some nods. Yeah? One that comes to mind for me is when my sister and I were little girls, we each year got dolls. And even though there are 3.5 years between us, we usually got matching dolls. You know, we got the same doll. Patty had light colored hair. Her hair was a beautiful strawberry blonde back then, and mine was brown. So I would get the dark-haired doll, and she would get the light-haired doll. Not too many dolls with red hair, but she got the blonde, I got the brunette. And this particular year, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember this, but there were these walking dolls. Oh, wait, see, nods, good. Okay. They were jointed at the elbows and at the hips and the knees. So they could sit, you know, they couldn't, that was before like electronics or even wind up, I think. You could walk them. You moved their legs physically, but they walked. And I believe, it's been a long time ago, but I believe that as they walked, their heads moved like that, I think. Okay. Well, so Patty and I had just a great time playing with these two dolls. But the thing that was really cool about it, and I came to appreciate it a whole lot more in my later years, was that my mom made clothes for the dolls, extra clothes. So they came with a dress, you know, and little outfit. And, but then she made pajamas and a robe and a blanket for each, for, so everything she did was double. We had the best time. It felt so luxurious to be able to dress and undress and change the outfit and all that stuff for these dolls. What a gift of love that was. The preparations I know that she had to make took some time, you know, to sew all those clothes. Okay, think about something else. Think about a time or a gift or gifts maybe that you have given. Are there any that come to mind for you that are special? Can you remember gifts that were very special that where you have given gifts that were special? Yeah? Yes? I don't know about you, but for me, it's those things where I have put extra of myself, either extra effort, or, hence the Christmas Eve thing, but that wasn't the gift, it was the time and the effort. But I did, just a few years ago, decide I wanted to make my nephew's three children each a child's afghan, you know, so I crocheted. I like to crochet and knit, and so I was really pushing it there at the end to get them all finished, but I did. Those, and really it doesn't matter how they received them. I think they liked them. I wasn't there when they opened them. But that love, you know, I could feel the love just in preparing them. So the preparations for Christmas, whether we're on the receiving end or the giving end, are just rooted in love. This whole season is about that. And it's not just the clothes, the gifts, it's also the decorations. You know, it's pretty obvious to me. I've already had to figure out how to get those things back on the pews because I knocked one off. So someone went to a great deal of trouble to put these beautiful decorations on the pews and get them to stay. And Jerry went to a lot of trouble to make some gorgeous decorations that unfortunately didn't stick. So sorry to say, they're beautiful, but a lot of love went into the decorations here. When we have family get-togethers, don't we fix food with a lot of love? So the preparations for Christmas, especially when we consider the outer, are easy to think about. They're easy to find, easy to see. We've been talking about the various levels of Christmas, the ways that we celebrate Christmas. And so we talked about the outer. We talked about the story, the religious Christmas, and we talked about the inner Christmas. So today will be no exception. When we think about the story, the religious side, let's go to Scripture. Let's talk some more about the Christmas story. We read, I guess in the first week, I think about the angel coming to Mary and telling her what was going to happen. And she said, you know, let it be with me according to your word. An angel also visited Joseph and told him that his fiancée, Mary, was with child, but that he was not to worry, that it was a child of God. And so he was to go ahead and marry her anyway and take care of her and the child, you know, and what to name him and all of that. So these angels had visited both of them. And then we pick up the story again in Luke, second chapter, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So that's where this all began. This is the story, the heart of the story of Christmas. this child, Jesus, was born of Mary and Joseph. In my opinion, there was great preparation in love there for those two people to be so faithful, to be so peaceful, to be so willing to follow this guidance of God, to come together, to risk everything, basically, to have this child, to make this happen. It's just founded in love. The whole thing is founded in love. We think about what, in my opinion, what Jesus came to teach us in his lifetime. He came to teach what he calls the greatest commandment, which is love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And a second commandment is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, Jesus says that the greatest commandments, the thing that he, and again, my opinion, came here to teach us, is that it's all about love. It's all about loving God first and loving ourselves and each other. There are no exclusions. It doesn't say, except for that neighbor down the street, or except, there are no exceptions. Love everyone. So preparing Christmas, as far as the story goes, I think it is, for me anyway, just remembering the story, remembering the emphasis, remembering these truths. And then I like to get something personal out of these stories. And so as Unity students, we look at the metaphysics of the story. We take a look at each of the characters, because metaphysically we believe that this Bible, this scripture is a story, and a story of the evolution of our humanity's spirituality. So we evolve spiritually, and that's our story. Every person, character in the Bible is, we believe, metaphysically an aspect of ourselves. So when we look at it metaphysically, if we consider that we each have a Mary aspect, we each have a Joseph aspect, we each have a Jesus aspect, then we can begin to think, how can this be of value to me every day, not just once a year when it comes around? How can this get me through life more easily, with more meaning, and in a more fulfilling way? So I thought we might look at the metaphysics of these things. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, writes in Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, writes about Joseph and Mary. He says that they represent, respectively, wisdom and love, which have been ideas in mind but are now to bring forth a manifestation in substance. It says that Joseph might also be said to represent the Son of Man, and Mary, the Divine Motherhood. Again, we have a Joseph, we have a Mary, so that Joseph within us is wisdom. The Mary within us is that love, the birther of whatever, Jesus, of course, is the Christ. We talked last week about the Christ, and there is a Christ in each and every one of us. So Jesus represents the Christ in all of us. They went to Bethlehem for this birth. Bethlehem means house of bread, but it represents or symbolizes the abiding place of substance. So at Bethlehem, the substance center in man, a union of love and wisdom take place, and the Christ is brought forth in substance. So what does that mean for us? Oh, I might even add one. I have one other one that I added. This is according to Sharon. But the stable. If you think about the stable. Now, this baby, this child, this is the Son of God. This is the King of Kings. One would think that a child of this importance would be born in a palace, but it wasn't. It was born in a stable. So it occurred to me that we, as we look at ourselves, what is the stable? Well, I think it is our earthly bodies. I think that these bodies house our essential selves. And so we can look at these selves that we're walking around with. They carry this Christ. This is where it lives. This is where it comes to be. So as we think about all of this together, this metaphysics and how we can look at this, I believe that we can consider looking and focusing on God, as you know, Mary and Joseph both listened to the angel, the word of God as through the angel. As we focus on God and guidance from God, then wisdom and love come together, and from that, with that attention on God, from that, then we are awakened to the birth. You know, it's a reawakening or a birthing of the divinity within us, the higher self of us, the Christ, the divinity, whatever you want to call it, that is in here, is born, is reawakened every time we put attention there. So we can have Christmas anytime. Why are we not all walking around as God in expression here? Why are we not all walking around expressing our Christ selves, our highest selves? Well, I think a lot of it comes from our upbringing, from our environment. Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements talks a lot about the agreements that we, the beliefs that we take on when caregivers, when whoever it is influences us to the point where we accept the judgments or the statements that another says about us. Oh, you're too clumsy, or you're too slow, or you're too tall, or you're too short, or you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too stupid. Whatever it is that is said to us, and especially as children, we integrate those. We take that in and believe it and allow that to be the truth of us, we think. Then we can't birth this Christ, because that's in the way. It is not going to happen. We are not going to be able to express our Christ self until we are willing and able to let go of those things, those untruths, those erroneous beliefs. Eric Butterworth is a well-known Unity writer, and he writes probably most famous book, I think, is called Discover the Power Within You. And it is exactly that. It is in our acceptance of the truth of us, our acceptance of this Christ nature that is in each and every one of us, that acceptance can allow us then to be expressions of the Christ, to be the highest and best that we can be. So I believe that this Sunday, this Christmas season, we celebrate, we prepare. We prepare our homes, we prepare our church, we prepare all the outer, we buy gifts, all of that. We prepare, though, in a more meaningful way by once again remembering the truth. Truth with a capital T of who and what we are. We are beloved offspring of the Creator. And as we allow ourselves to embrace that and live that and express that out in the world, then we have Christmas every day. So Merry Christmas. Let's take time, as we do each week, to practice the presence. So I invite you, if you will, to gently close your outer eyes. Often we take in a deep breath and release. And another cleansing breath in and a full release. As we allow ourselves to breathe deeply, slowly, what naturally happens is our bodies begin to slow down. They begin to relax. And so we allow that to happen, and we encourage that to happen. With our mind's eye, we can scan our bodies and see if there's any place that's holding tightness or tension. Consciously relax it and let it go. Continue to breathe in and out. And we can feel ourselves letting go. We can feel ourselves really deeply relaxing. We are here, safe, among like-minded friends. We are here in the midst of a great deal of love. We might find that our minds want to keep chattering, and so we consider that the thoughts that come in are like clouds that just sort of flow across our minds. We notice that they move across, but we don't grab them, we don't hold on to them, we just let them pass by. We bring ourselves back to the breath again and again as we need to. And as we center simply on breathing, focus simply on being still and breathing, we begin to really get a deep sense of quiet, stillness. It is in this stillness that we are able to align ourselves, to commune, connect with God, with our Creator. In this silence, without thinking of anything other than the breath, we allow ourselves to simply be open and receptive. This week we are focused and open, especially in love and to love. As we consider the birth of this baby that we're going to celebrate in less than 2 weeks, as we consider the amazing newness, perfection, wonder, and love of birth, we feel within us a stirring. We feel within us a joy that bubbles up. We can once again feel peace, peace that has nothing to do with the outer. We can feel love. We say that God is love, and as the creations of God, we have the opportunity, the potential to be love in expression. We can choose this day and every day to express love. I envision almost like a radio tower that just broadcasts sound waves. We are radiating towers of light, broadcasting love. And just as we felt again that love when we remembered both the gifts that we were given and the gifts that we gave, that love isn't about anything in the outer. It is that indwelling love. So we can rest in that. We can make that our natural habitat. We can come back to this love anytime. It feels wonderful. It is restorative. It is the unifying force, the harmonizer. So as we do each week, we take some time in silence to simply be. So this week I encourage you to just simply be love in the silence. We often find that when we give ourselves these times of quiet, these times of silence, to reflect on today, love, we find that we are simply infused. We are rejuvenated. We are re-energized with that energy of love. There were so many songs that are written about love and being love and loving. And yet the truth that we know is that our Maker, God, created us in that image of love. And so we get to reflect the love that we can't even comprehend as best we can out into the world. And so on this day, we give thanks. We give thanks for this blessed holiday season. We give thanks for what it means, what it implies, what it teaches us, and mostly what we can come away from and live, not just in this season, but every day. We are so grateful for all of that. So in that gratitude and in deep love, we come together to pray the words of our Master Teacher, our Way Shower, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.